Good morning, everyone. Feels like a while since I've preached in here, so it's great to be with you this morning. Thanks for having me. We're going to talk about prayer. That's what we're talking about this term. We're doing a little series on prayer. Mike kicked us off a couple of weeks ago, and it's something we kind of sense God's calling us to as a church, that God wants to call us deeper in prayer. I mean, when doesn't he? But particularly in this season, it feels like something we want to go after, something we're pursuing as a staff team, those of us who work here. We're just trying to be a bit more intentional about the way we pray together and gather together. We're really trying to use the prayer room upstairs as much as possible, just as a place to help us connect with God. There are loads of amazing resources in there. Sam Parker's been taking a bit of a lead with trying to make that a really helpful space to pray. You can pray anywhere. You don't have to pray in a prayer room, but sometimes it's helpful to have reminders and prompts and images and prayer stations and stuff like that. There's loads of new books up there as well. It's something we're pursuing in the evening service, particularly this term. Our evening service does run pretty much every Sunday at 7 p.m. We're running it up in the prayer room at the moment, just again as one space where we say, here's a time that's set apart to worship and to pray. So do join us tonight. We'll be praying especially for FCT's move, and we'll be worshiping together, and you can use the prayer stations up there and just come and have some time in the presence of the Lord, some space before you start your week. You'd be super welcome to join us at the evening service. And of course, prayer is not just something that we do in these gathered moments together, but it's something we want to permeate our whole lives as Christians, as I'm sure you know. And our hope is that this teaching series is just going to help us. The stuff that we say, the stuff that I say today, probably won't be mind-blowingly new to most of you, but hopefully it's just a reminder of some of the foundations of prayer that will help us to live fruitful prayer lives together as a church. We've got kind of four topics that we're going through. I don't know if you can put that slide up with the four bullet points, please, Dom. Talk to God, talk with God, listening to God, and being with God. And of course, all of those overlap a little bit. Last time, Mike looked at talking to God. Today, we're going to think about talking with God. If you were there last time, Mike focused on the first line of the Lord's Prayer: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we thought a little bit about how that phrase, our Father, is so foundational for prayer. It establishes that God's a personal God, that he cares about us, that he's interested in us, that we can approach him as a child approaches a father or mother. We can come to him as someone who cares. We can come to him as someone who wants a close, intimate relationship with us. I loved Mike shared one example of one of his kids just wanting to come and talk to him just before bed, just wanting to come and chat and talk through the stuff that was going on in his life. And Mike wanted to go to sleep, but he woke himself up to chat with his kid. And that was just a really beautiful picture of how God wants us to be as children. We come to him as a father who loves us and loves to hear what's going on in our lives. And we thought a little bit about how the Lord's Prayer is quite helpful to memorize. I was thinking, how amazing is it? You know, this prayer is so well known. There are millions of people around the world who could recite it off by heart. I was thinking to myself, do you think Jesus knew when he taught it his disciples that this would happen? I thought Jesus probably did. So I thought, well, do you think Matthew knew when he wrote it down in Matthew's gospel that, you know, so many people would go and memorize these particular words that it would be translated into however many different languages? Amazing, isn't it? It's such a powerful prayer. It's connected with people across millennia because it's such a good way of praying. So it's really helpful to memorize it. And sometimes that's helpful. It's helpful to have like a set prayer that's written out for when you don't have your own words, right? Maybe you found yourself like that. You want to pray, but you don't know where to start. And having a set written out prayer, whether it's the Lord's Prayer or some other prayer resource that's going to help you find some words to talk to God, that can be really helpful. And as well as being valuable just as something to memorize and recite, it's also something that can kind of work as a starting point for prayer. You've probably thought about the Lord's Prayer in this way. It's kind of a template, it's a guideline, it gives us types of things that we might like to say to God. I want to say to you that it's a little bit like a scale in music. You'll probably know that I'm a musician. I thought it was quite apt that I was last minute roped in to play the keyboard this morning. I find playing music relatively easy because I've practiced it for a long time. I wonder if anyone would like to give me a scale. Anyone want to give me a musical note or a musical scale to try and play? This could go very wrong. I might not know it. You might show me up to not be good at music at all, and that would be quite funny, probably. Brett's going to give me a scale. F Lydian. Okay, so Lydian, well, that's actually relatively easy, right? Because F, if I just play all the white notes, you might have to turn the piano back on, Brian, if you don't mind. There we go. F Lydian is a mode. It's a bit of a weird sounding scale. It has a sharp fourth, if anyone cares. You probably don't, but I know lots of different scales. We could have, say, C major, perhaps the most easy scale with just all the white notes. Thank you so much. Scales in music, right, are a really good starting point. They're a really good foundation, okay? You learn the notes that are in a particular key, and they're really good. They're beautiful a little bit on their own. Scales can sound nice, like it doesn't sound horrible, does it, when I do that? You might not think they sound nice if you were forced to learn them as a child, if you had music lessons where you were forced to learn scales. But scales are like a foundation, and once you know the notes in a particular scale, you can make up your own tunes. You can make up your own music in your own way, using the notes that you've learned in the scale. Thank you. And I want to say that prayer is a little bit like that. The Lord's Prayer is a little bit like a scale. It's like a template. It's the foundation of prayer. But once you learn the foundation, once you learn the scale, you can then make up your own tunes. You can make up your own words. You can not just talk to God, like we looked at last week, but talk with God. You can kind of riff off the original scale, if you like. And the more I think about this analogy, the more I like it, the more it makes sense to me, and maybe you'll find it helpful too. I find it relatively easy to play music on the piano because I've spent years learning the language. I've spent years, my fingers know where those scales are. I'm not sat there thinking about it or looking at it on a piece of paper. I just know it's imprinted in my brain, it's in my fingers, it's in my muscle memory because I've spent so long learning the language of music. And so it's really easy for me. It just lives in my mind. It's soaked into part of who I am. And I would love to say something similar about my prayer life. And maybe you would too. I'd love to say that I've spent so much time learning the language of prayer, learning from the mouth of Jesus and the pages of Scripture what prayer could be like, what prayer should be like, so that this life-giving prayer life just kind of flows out of me as naturally as music can flow out from my fingers. And maybe you'd love that too. And I guess that's what I hope we'll get from this series, is that as we kind of soak ourselves in the biblical foundations of prayer, we allow our minds and hearts to be realigned with what Jesus says about prayer, and then that will just flow out into the way that we pray. And can I just add, this talk and any of the talks in this series are not intended to condemn you for not praying enough. That's quite an easy thing to intentionally or unintentionally say from the front. I'm not trying to make you or me feel bad for not praying enough or not being good enough at prayer. That's the whole point of God being a good father, isn't it? That's why we started with that. He's not sitting there angrily saying, why haven't you prayed enough? Why haven't you learned the scale and the Lord's Prayer? And why aren't you improvising off it? And why are you not doing a good enough job? He's just there waiting for us to come to him. There's an invitation and he wants us to come in. So please receive this talk this morning as an invitation to prayer, not as a condemning or a judgment for not praying enough. So talking with God is what we're thinking about. When we pray, we talk to God. He's our Father in heaven. We might use the Lord's Prayer and other set words to help us pray. And then we might start talking with God. We might use these biblical foundations as a starting point and start to use our own words, our own language to talk to God. And that's a sign that you have a real relationship with God if you can do that. I want to take you back to a moment in my morning this morning. I got up, went downstairs, made the kids some breakfast, And I thought that was a good moment to enjoy a cup of tea. And I thought I'd act this out with this mug, just as a subtle reminder that we need some help with team for tea and coffee. I'm sure Highland will be grateful for that. Andrew's Red Frogs team is available as well. But I sat down with my cup of tea. I hope Dom's having fun on the cameras, by the way. I've been sitting down, I've been wandering over to the piano. So if you're watching on YouTube, I do apologize for probably not being in the shot for half the time. But thank you, Dom, for, I presume you've still got the camera on me, but I don't know. Anyway, might be best if you don't. Anyway, I'm sat there and I think this is a good moment to just enjoy my cup of tea in a bit of peace. The kids are eating their breakfast. They have these little Tony boxes which play these audiobooks, and they're sat there quietly listening to them. And I'm like, yeah, I can have a moment of quiet. I can have my cup of tea. I can get in a frame of mind to think about giving a sermon this morning and whatever else I might have to do. And about a minute in, I've had about three sips of my tea, and Elijah comes over. He's eaten about one bite of his toast, and he's decided he's full, obviously. And he comes over and sits on my knee. I brought these toys to represent the children, not because they're weird-looking aliens, but just because I found them in the kids' playpen. He comes over, and they like to sit on us. We have these little chairs in the corner of our dining room. The kids refuse to wear anything warm. Our house is quite cold. They refuse to wear slippers or jumpers. So they come over and say, oh, I'm cold, can I have a cuddle? So he comes over, sits on my knee, and it's quite hard to drink a cup of tea with a child on you because you don't want to spill the tea on the child or yourself. And it is a little bit inconvenient. But anyway, Elijah wants to come over and have a cuddle. He wants to come over and sit on my knee. So I put my cup of tea down and I give him a cuddle. And he wants to tell me about some character he's read in a book who can't swim or something, and he thinks it's funny in this book, and he wants to tell me about it. And about 30 seconds later, Karis comes over and joins as well, and I don't have enough hands, really, to... This is what it's like. I had a child on each knee. They're both there. And she wants to ask if any friends are coming round after church. And I'm sat there and I'm thinking about my sermon about prayer, and I'm thinking, well, I guess this is probably, as much as I might like to sit quietly and drink my tea, quite a good example of what it's like when we come to God. These kids have got language. They know they can talk to me. They know that I'm going to sit there and listen to them. They've got words. They've talked to me before. They know what I'm like. They can use their words to tell me. They can have a conversation. They can talk with me. They don't need to use set words. They can just tell me what they're thinking, what they're feeling. They come for the warmth. They come for the attention. They come for the conversation. And they know that they have a good-ish father who will spend time with them. Sometimes it's pretty hard to get them to stop talking to me, actually. So I thought that was quite a helpful picture of what it's like. Similar but a different stage of life, I guess, to Mike's story from last time. And it reminded me a little bit of this verse, which Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, like I know a little bit of how to give good attention and love to my children. If you, though you are sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more does God want us to come into his presence, to sit on his knee, to climb up on him, to tell him about our day? So much more. That's the answer. We're going to look at three aspects of talking with God this morning. There's so many things we could say. We're going to look at gratitude, we're going to look at lament, and we're going to look at asking. Gratitude is talking with God about what's good in your life. That's what my kids wanted to do. They wanted to come and talk to me about their friends and the things they were reading in their books. Sometimes my kids come and they lament to me. They want to talk about what's evil, what's bad in the world, what's going on that's not good, that's not right. And pretty often as well, they come with number three, they want to ask. And that's how we're to approach God as well. Jesus invites us to ask him, to ask the Father for stuff. And that's part of prayer as well. Maybe that's the first thing we think of when we think of prayer. So anyway, we're going to have a little look at each of these three. Gratitude, lament, and asking. Gratitude is a great way to start praying, isn't it? You might think of the psalm that says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It's a great way to start our gatherings together at church, isn't it? To worship God, to praise him, to come into his presence, reminding ourselves of who he is and worshiping him. It's another way you could think about how the Lord's Prayer starts, couldn't we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Kind of saying, may your name be praised. May you be praised and worshipped for all the good things that you do and all the good that you are to us. Paul writes in Colossians 2 that we're to be overflowing with thankfulness. I won't ask you to put your hands up, but I don't know if I would describe myself regularly as overflowing with thankfulness. Maybe you would, and you're a much more thankful person than me. Sometimes I just need to remind myself who God is. I need to speak out the truth of who he is or sing out the truth of who he is, even when I don't necessarily feel it to be true, but to remind myself that it's true. So gratitude is a great way to enter prayer. It also reminds us of like when God's answered prayers in the past. Sometimes I can be in the midst of stuff that's going on in my life that's really hard, and I can forget those things. But when you start with thankfulness, you start to say, actually, Lord, you have done so much. You have given me so much. And then even when you come to number two, you come to lament, you've at least found a moment to be thankful, and you maybe have faith that when you come to ask God, number three, maybe he's going to do something about it. So gratitude is a great way to start prayer. What about lament? Lament is talking with God about what's evil in your life and world, the things that aren't right, the things that we want to see changed. The honest truth is that our lives are pretty full of things that aren't good, that aren't beautiful. And what are we supposed to do with those things? What are we supposed to do with the pain and the suffering that we carry in our hearts? Well, we're supposed to bring it to God. Some people think that prayer is quite boring. There's lots of reasons why we might find prayer boring, or we might think of prayer as being boring. But perhaps one of them is because rather than praying, we feel like we ought to perform. We feel like we ought to come to God with this some kind of polished version of who we are. We sort of perform for him like we might perform for other people. We might expect, especially as maybe predominantly British people in the room, God to ask, how are you? And say, yes, I'm fine, thanks, how are you? And that to be a sort of, you know, good start to a prayer conversation. But thankfully, we can come to God exactly how we are, and we don't have to pretend to be a certain way. We don't have to pretend to have it all together, but we can come to him as we are. C.S. Lewis says we are to lay before God what is in us, not what ought to be in us. Come to God as you actually are, not how you think you should be or how you think God thinks you should be. And learning to pray is learning to bring all we are to God, because he already knows, doesn't he? He already knows what's inside us. You might think of Psalm 139. You've searched me, Lord. You know me. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God already knows what we're thinking and feeling. We don't need to hide it from him. We can just come to him as we are. You'll probably know that the Bible's full of lament prayers, and it's something that I've heard a lot of people talk about this recently. I think everyone always says, oh, we never talk about lament, and then I've heard that said so many times, I actually think we do talk about it now, which is good. But I think we have probably lost it in modern times, but all the ancient prayers in the Bible, all the Psalms are full of lament. They're quite, like, you read them sometimes. When I was at theological college, they in the Anglican Church, like, they read Psalms all the time as part of worship. Like, you'd, like, read one line, and everyone repeats back a line to you or something like that. And if you're not used to it, it's quite an odd way to worship. And there are some where you're like, great, praise the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, praise his holy name. Oh yeah, great, that's so cool. And then you get one that's like, God, crush my enemies and destroy those stupid bad guys. That's the Message version. And you're like, that feels like a weird thing to start. Like, we don't often, you know, sing that in our worship songs, do we? So you find yourself speaking out these weird lines that you find in the Psalms. They're full of rage and anger and vengeance and jealousy and envy and doubt. And you're like, why has God put this in the Bible? And that's because we are full of those things as humans. If we're honest with ourselves, we all feel those feelings at times. We feel angry, we feel jealous, we feel like we want to take vengeance on our enemies. And the Psalms and lament generally as a part of a healthy prayer life is a healthy way of processing the pain that we feel in life. We learn to complain to God. If you're not going to complain to God, you'll probably find yourself complaining to some other people. You'll complain to your spouse or your friend group or your boss, or you'll go online and complain about it on the comments section on Facebook. And I'm not saying that some of those things might be helpful, but it's certainly helpful to start with God. If God is the number one relationship in your life, if God's the person who loves you and cares for you just as you are, he wants you to bring your lament to him. He wants you to bring the deepest cry of your heart to him. There's a quote from someone called Anne Voskamp. She says, "Lament is a cry of belief in a good God. Lament is a cry of belief in a good God, a God who has his ear to our hearts, a God who transfigures the ugly into beautiful." We lament partly because there's loads of bad stuff going on in our lives and the world, but we also lament because God actually cares about it and he can do something about it. And he wants us to bring those things to him. And that brings us quite nicely onto number three, asking. Sometimes we use fancy words like petition and intercession and things like that. We're just going to stick with asking today, just to keep it really simple. We can ask God to do something about the things that are wrong with the world. The second line of the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there's kind of a hint at lament right in there, because Jesus is assuming that the Father's kingdom has not yet fully come and that his will is not yet fully done in our world, maybe in part, but not in full. And he assumes that through prayer, we partner with Jesus to bend reality in the direction of the Father's good intentions. We pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." We pray, "God, would you reign? Would you have your way? Would you do what you want to do in this situation? I can see this situation that's painful or broken, or there's suffering or pain, and I want you to come and work in it." And those are the things that we're called to ask God for. And often I find in my life, it's a lot easier to start doing stuff than it is to start asking God to do stuff. I, if I'm honest, think of myself as quite a capable person. I think I can accomplish quite a lot of things. I think if I work hard at something, I like to solve problems, I like to fix things, I like to do things to make the world better, and God loves it when we do that. But prayer is like a reminder to our souls that we're not the answer to all the problems in this world. God might use us to be the answer, and we might be part of the answer by God's grace, but sometimes we need to remind ourselves that God's the only one who can actually fix all that's broken in the world. God's the only one who can really come and bring the transformation that people need in their lives. God's the only one who can really make a lifelong, eternal difference to people. And so I find that helpful. Asking God to do something is just a powerful thing to reset our hearts and our minds from trying to be self-sufficient, trying to make ourselves God, if you like, I guess, is a slightly extreme but maybe helpful way of thinking of how we might like to think sometimes. So we come to God with gratitude. We thank him for the good things in our lives, the good things about who he is and what he's done. We come to him in lament. We talk with God about what's evil in our life and the world. And we ask him. We ask him to do something about it. We ask him to fulfill his promises, to overcome evil with good. And we do all of that just coming to him as a father, coming to him as a good father, just like my kid sitting on my knee, coming to climb on me and talk with me about what's going on. That's how we're to approach God in prayer. I'm going to stop talking and just going to leave some silence just to try and do each of those things. I think we won't pray out loud, but just maybe you'd like to just, if it's helpful for you, adopt some kind of posture to pray, just to move from, we're going to stop listening to Zach babbling on, but we're going to move to talk to your Father who loves you and cares for you. So you might like to close your eyes, you might like to put your hands out, you may like to kneel if you want, or stand, or I don't know, whatever helps you. Sometimes just doing something physical helps remind you that you're doing something different spiritually. And I'm going to invite you to just try doing each of those things. We'll have like 2 or 3 minutes of silence just for each one. And then I think afterwards, after we've done a bit of just quiet, reflective praying, the band will come up and we'll sing together. So firstly, maybe you'd like to come to God with gratitude. Maybe you want to tell him what you're thankful for, remind yourself of who he is. Maybe there's a line from a worship song that we sung this morning that stands out to you as a reminder of who God is and why you'd want to worship him. Just take 2 minutes just to silently reflect and pray with gratitude. And now, why don't you take a moment to lament? Just in the quietness of your heart, tell God what's not right, what needs to change in your life or in the world. Tell him how you feel. Be honest with him. He already knows. He already knows what's going on in our hearts. But don't be afraid to talk to him about it. Don't be afraid to bring him the deepest cries of your heart, the things that are bringing you anxiety or worry, the things that are weighing heavily on you. Just take a couple of minutes and bring them before God right now. And finally, let's take a moment to ask God. It might flow straight out of what you've been lamenting about. You might want to ask him to change the things that aren't right, to change the pain, to change the difficult, evil, ugly things of this world to good. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just take a few moments to bring some requests before God now. I wonder if the band would come up and lead us in a song in a moment. I'm just going to pray for us to finish. Lord, we want to be a church that goes deeper with you in prayer. We want to be people who stay close to you. We want to be children who aren't afraid to come and spend time in the presence of our Father. We want to be people who are so immersed in who you say you are and what you say about prayer and how we talk to you that it just flows out of us so naturally. Lord, I'd love to say that about my life, that I'm so full of who you say you are and how you say I can talk to you and pray with you, that just a really healthy, vibrant life of prayer flows out from me. And I just pray that for each one of us. I pray that we'd grow deeper in that, Lord. I pray that you take away any guilt that we feel, Lord, about where we feel like we've not prayed enough or not prayed in the right way or where our minds drift to other things or whatever it is, Lord. I pray you take away any sense of guilt and pray that you'd help us, Lord. Thank you that you're so gracious that we can come to you like the disciples and say, Lord, teach us to pray. So, Lord, that's our prayer for today. Teach us to pray. Teach us to be a praying church. Amen.